Coming up on show 886, General Motors will engineer, make and supply the parts for the Nikola Badger truck. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Plus, VW CEO Herbert Diess has been test driving a Tesla after Elon drove one of his cars. Model 3 is doing pretty well in China last month in August, and the Volkswagen ID6, along with the Audi Q4 e-tron, have both been spied testing. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. Here is the edition for Wednesday, 9th of September. My name is Martin Lee. I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. General Motors are going to engineer, produce, and supply parts for the Nikola Badger EV and fuel cell truck. Nikola and GM today announced a partnership that means the Nikola Badger will carry cost reductions, they say, through this partnership and lead all the way through from the Badger, which is the truck, and the semi-trucks, the one, the two, the Tray, and the NZT. Not sure what that is. I need to go and research that. I'm not an expert on Nikola. As part of the programs and agreement between the two companies, General Motors will provide the Ultium battery system, which is just the name they've given. They're making some batteries. They've given it a fancy brand name, the Ultium batteries. But also, their fuel cell technology will be supplied to Nikola. And as far as I've asked around today, the experts in the know, nobody knew that GM had any fuel cell technology, but turns out they've got some somewhere, and they're going to give it to, or supply it to, Nikola. General Motors will be responsible for engineering the Nikola Badger. They will homologate it and validate it using all of their processes that they've got with all of their other cars, and they'll actually manufacture it. Not sure in which General Motors factories it's going to be made, but they said they'll make the Nikola Badger, the battery electric and the fuel cell versions. The agreement with Nikola extends GM's utilization of fuel cell technology to trucks as well. Sorry, semi-trucks. I need to be careful what I say because I have a big US audience, and what you think is a truck and I think is a truck is different. So the Class 7 and the Class 8 semi-trucks, the fuel cell technology that General Motors will supply to Nikola for that, which they say will be the commercialization of its fuel cell systems. Fuel cells, they say, will become an important part of the semi-truck market because it's more efficient than gas or diesel. General Motors sees growth opportunities in multiple transportation, stationary and mobile power in high-end markets, they say. General Motors battery development, they say, is ongoing. With this announcement, their Ultium battery technology roadmap includes silicon anodes and lithium metal anodes, which will improve vehicle range, affordability. This is all about increasing the cycles that you put through a battery, I think, and also the speed at which you can charge it. Also, reducing the dependence on rare and costly metals as well. It's already demonstrating what they say is automotive-grade durability. That's their phrase. And significantly higher energy density. Nikola, on the other hand, what are their responsibilities in this deal, considering that GM are going to engineer the car for Nikola, that they're going to make the car in their factories, they're going to I presume service it, because they're the only ones that know all about the car, as it's going to be basically a GM but with a Nikola badge on the front. Nikola will be responsible for the marketing and selling of the things, and they're going to keep the name Badger. So let's run through the headlines of that and work out what it means. GM is going to receive $2 billion in equity of Nikola. Now, Nikola have issued new stock, and they say that that $2 billion share, it's an 11% share of Nikola that GM just took. GM says that is an exchange for in-kind contributions, non-specified in-kind contributions. General Motors, like I say, engineering, validating, homologating and building the Badger truck with both batteries and fuel cells, which that's part of what they say is the in-kind services. Nikola anticipates saving $4 billion of development costs over 10 years, which actually, if that is drawn out on a extrapolated to a linear curve at least, that $4 billion is really only $400 million in R&D costs a year, which in this space is not a huge amount of money. Okay, saying we've saved ourselves $4 billion in cost by accessing GM's tech. Yeah, sounds big, but actually they said that's over 10 years. And you know what, $400 million a year, not the biggest, but of course not to be sneezed at, and over $1 billion over 10 years in engineering costs. General Motors expects to receive $4 billion of benefits between the equity value of the shares, the contract manufacturing of the Badger, the supply contracts for batteries and fuel cells, of course, and EV credits retained over the life of the contract. And many people have a lot to say about how they think Tesla is only a profitable company, or plenty of people online will tell you why Tesla is only where it is because of receiving zero emission vehicle credits, or ZEV credits, those EV credits in the US. And now GM will have a ton of those coming their way because they'll be selling, well, they are entitled to those from the Badgers which are sold. General Motors will be the exclusive supplier of fuel cells globally, but not including Europe, which is kind of a big market, to Nikola for the Class 8 and the Class 7 trucks, providing validation and scale on that market. The Badger is anticipated to enter production by the end of 2022, so we are 2 years away from that even starting production. Huge story today, and clearly it's good for GM because they get paid to make cars. They also get a big chunk of Nikola. Not that Nikola's ever made anything, but they've got some ideas and some renders, and they've made a prototype. Apart from that, they've not got a factory. They had a groundbreaking ceremony a little while ago, but people have gone back with video cameras to that site since, and there's nothing there. So, in the same time, places like the gigafactories being built in Europe are coming up. Tesla's work is coming up. The work that is being done around the world in building battery factories happening at a pace. But I'm surprised that Nikola thus far haven't done anything apart from have a few drinks at a groundbreaking ceremony. And so we'll see what happens there. Of course, I guess it means Nikola now don't need the factory. Nikola have said for years, we have market-leading fuel cell and battery technology. So my initial reaction to this, just being completely impartial in this whole thing, my reaction is, why, if Nikola have been saying for years, we have our own battery technology, we've got our own fuel cells, we've got our own IP, we're developing it all in-house, we've got the best people and the best products, if they've now gone wholesale to GM to say, we need your batteries and your fuel cells for the Badger? Those two things don't add up to me, so I'll be looking to understand more about that, because if a company's been saying for years, the two things we've got are the batteries and the fuel cells, and now they haven't, well, did they have them? Or why haven't they been able to commercialize them if they had some ideas? Or is GM stuff just better? So GM, when they were pushed on the call, so there's like a journalist call on this where they talk to the journalists and the CEO of GM, Mary Barra, when they said, Nikola have got a stunning deal out of this. Obviously, they have to pay you to make the cars, but they've wholesale said, hey, GM, you make our products, and we'll put the badge on the front. And they said, well, they bring enthusiasm. I think Nikola would need to bring more than enthusiasm to the deal to make it worthwhile. So I'm sure they are bringing more than that, one answer that was said. So we look forward to finding out more about this partnership. You know, I'm excited about all new EVs, and I want the EV market to grow. General Motors seem to be doing the lion's share of the work here. Of course, they'll be getting paid for the vehicles that they are making. What does it mean for the headcount at Nikola? Of course, they recently kind of reverse merged with one of these SPAC, S-P-A-C products, and so that was how they got listed. Their stocks, their share price was up, when I looked earlier today, 50%. So there's loads of heat in the company, which again, for me, is a head-scratcher. All companies that have a huge amount of heat, this is not a Nikola thing, by the way, but there are so many people jumping into the EV space. I'm more cautious than I've ever been when everyone tells me I have to be excited about a company. And I've never had more people telling me either on email or tweets or just saying, you have to be excited about Nikola because they're going to be the next big thing. And, you know, maybe it's a British thing. Maybe I'm just a naturally reluctant to be told what to think about hype. When I'm told that this company is going to just blow up and be huge, and I say, okay, that's fine. Well, what have they got? What's their products and what are they making? Well, they haven't got a factory, therefore they're not making anything, but they've got some good ideas. I wish them well. It's not like they've gone through the hard graft and process of actually making anything. So we'll see. We wish them the best, and I wish GM the best as well, because then they've now got the they've now got to do the hard yards over the next couple of years of I don't know, building out extra room in their factories, of lines, of all those kind of things. I gather somewhere in this, I'm trying to dig to the bottom of it, that General Motors saying that they're going to be making their fuel cell technology available to put inside all of the Nikola cars. As you and I well know, fuel cells are useless without a filling network which is on a par with, or at least similar to, the refueling situation we have with petrol and diesel. And so to build one hydrogen filling station is fabulously expensive. To build enough of them to have lots of trucks and all these kind of things flying around, well, who's going to pay for that? If anyone listening to this, and there's a few people who listen to this show, are big fans of hydrogen power, if you can help me connect those dots and I can learn from you on that, because I don't understand that. So the car makers aren't going to do it, because the car makers wouldn't even build EV charging networks, and that's a damn sight cheaper than building a global hydrogen filling station network. Governments aren't going to pay for it. Organizations won't pay for it. Car companies won't pay for it. Who's building all these filling stations? So will it just be for boats and planes and trucks where you can have fixed points? So maybe they only need like 20 of them for the biggest trucking hubs. I don't know. I don't know how it works. I'm looking forward to learning more about it. Good luck to everybody involved in that deal. Big, big news today, which is why it's dominated so much of today's podcast. But let's crack on, because there is much, much more news to get to today. Tesla have very quickly completed a $5 billion stock sale. A week ago, Tesla announced they'd be selling $5 billion worth of stock at current market prices from time to time, they said. And I mentioned this on the podcast a couple of days ago, that they'd raised $5 billion, and somebody was very quick to email me and go, I think you'll find you are wrong. They haven't actually completed any of the sale, just that they were intending to do it. I shall reply to that person today and say that as of today, Tesla has as of Friday last week, Tesla completed that full $5 billion sale of their stock. The exact number of shares sold, and thus the average price of each sale, was not exactly disclosed. Tesla shares have fallen sharply as tech stocks. It's not a Tesla thing, it's a tech stock thing. Huge sell-off happening at the moment. And shares reached a split-adjusted record high on August 31st, around $500, but they've lost 16% of their value since then through to Friday's close, and shares were down 11% pre-market through the Labor Day holiday weekend. And as of recording this podcast, Tesla down 21%. Holy moly! Which is why I always tell you, do not invest according to anything I say. I would never invest in a single stock in a million years, because when I sleep at night, I sleep really, really well, not worrying that my investment is going to lose 21% in a day's trading. Wowzers. Tesla shareholders today might be having a bad day, but then again, it's up so much over the last few months. I don't know if any of them will be too upset if they've been in it for the long term. Let's move on. We've been talking recently about Elon Musk flying to Germany and driving a VW ID3 and having a look around the ID4, which is really the Model Y competitor. Well, now the boss of the VW, the chairman of the board of management, Herbert Diess, also got to drive the Model Y from Tesla, which he called a reference for Volkswagen. Wow, calling the Model Y a reference point. Diess went on to say that the Model Y has a major advantage because it's built from the ground up as an EV, unlike many other automakers. Well, Tesla and VW aren't building EV versions on an ICE platform, you know, shoving the batteries in the boot and under the back seats, because Diess says other car makers won't be able to produce the best EVs unless they start from scratch and a blank sheet of paper, like Tesla and startups did and VW did. VW operated very much like a startup when they went back to square one. Day one, really. Blank sheet of paper. Let's start with a new platform. Many other car makers say they can't afford to do that. They have to navigate in the next 5 or 10 years by having a factory make a petrol car, a hybrid car, an EV car coming down the line. It just depends what powertrain they shove into it. I'm sure many car makers don't shove anything anywhere. It's precise engineering. Well, moving on, VW's confirmed the upcoming ID4 towing capacity in a new video that they released. Very short and sweet, but over the last month, VW's been hyping the ID4. We get to find out more about it by the end of the month. And we also saw the inside of the ID4. Very high tech, 2 touch screens. According to Electrek, now the German automaker has put a new video of the ID4 showcasing its capacity of manoeuvring and towing a trailer, confirming the electric SUV will have a towing capacity of 1,900 kilograms. That's just over 4,200 pounds. Pretty reasonable for a mid-sized SUV. I'll pop a link to Electrek in the show notes so you can find out more. Many of those countries where VW will be selling the ID4, by the way, I'm thinking like the Nordic countries, Norway and Sweden, etc. Towing is not just an option, towing is a necessity. Now, I have no need to tow anything, anytime, anywhere. But there are many countries, some of the colder climates as well, but also just many people that it's literally a deal breaker. Before they can even ask how much does it tow, can it tow? So that's not a bad, that's a small caravan, isn't it? Like a couple of thousand kilos, 4,000 plus pounds. You know, that's a small weekend caravan and pretty decent sized trailer that can tow. It would annihilate range, as anyone who's towed with like a Model X has found. It absolutely destroys your battery efficiency because you're towing a big, basically, windbreak behind you. But still, big enough battery shouldn't make a difference if you're not doing too many long distances or there's plenty of charging along your route. Let's talk the ID6, a car that I'm not sure I've talked about very much on this podcast before. The Volkswagen ID6 is a bigger version of the ID4, big SUV, will be very, very popular for those that want a pure electric big SUV. Expected to be released in China next year, sometime in 2021. Will it be sold in Europe? You'd think so. You'd really think so. Test mule's been seen in the Alps. Now, writing for Auto Express by Luke Wilkinson for Auto Express says the ID6 will adopt the same face, the same front end as the rest of Volkswagen's ID range. Similar headlamps and C-shaped grille surrounds. The rest of it looks similar to basically a big ID4. Albeit scaled up. Volkswagen used a similar lighting design and tailgate layout, while the rear spoiler appears to be larger, but pretty much the same as the ID4. No official word on range, but it's going to be a big battery. This is, up until now, what we've been calling the ID rooms. R-O-O-M-Z. Yeah. The rooms, they said, would come with an 82 kilowatt hour battery pack. Seems reasonable for a big SUV. Of course, the MEB platform, upon which all of these cars are built, can take way more than 100 kilowatt hours in terms of the battery pack. Range of about 280 miles on the European test cycle on this fast charging. What do you reckon? 125, 150 kilowatts fast charging speed would be about right for a car this size, with a pack that size as well. And at this price point and the kind of competition that it will be up against. Back to the smaller size SUV, though. And we've talked about the VW ID4. That's the first car coming to the US, by the way, not the ID3. So if you're interested in VW's offering, got to wait for the ID4 next year. But also, we talked about Skoda Enyaq iV. That was released last week, beginning of last week. And now, let's talk the same car, but with four rings on the front. And let's talk Audi Q4, another one of the siblings. And this is, for many Audi fans, going to be a must test drive when they come to make their next purchase. According to Motor1.com, the e-tron Q4 is covered in swirls in these new pictures that have been taken by their spy photographers. So there's not much to see on the outside because the swirls really do kind of put you off quite a lot on these wrapped cars. But looking at it, drawing the line, like the basic roof line and the hip line and the pillars, look, it's going to be very similar to those other cars, the ID4, the Skoda Enyaq. It won't be long until the Q4 is rid of its wraps. Audi confirmed it will debut this year alongside the e-tron GT. That's going to be a nice car. But anyway, Q4 e-tron, by the end of the year, we'll see it. Thank you, Audi, for making this kind of car. I'm looking forward to seeing the specs on that. I've had one Audi in my car ownership history, and that was the TT. That was the smaller one, the 180 brake horse with a single exhaust. But I didn't go big on my TT. I mean, heck, I was in my 20s. Insurance was crazy as it was. So I got the small one, and that was still a great car. Very fond memories in terms of the repertoire of cars that I've owned over the years. Of course, I wouldn't have one now because it's not electric. But back then, I mean, I loved it. I have fond memories of owning an Audi. I'd own another one at the drop of a hat. And so we'll see what pricing and specs they come out with for the Q4 later this year. It's going to be more expensive than a car like the Skoda Enyaq, because generally, Skodas are cheaper than Audis. Saying that, the Skoda Enyaq first edition was 50 grand. Yeah, that's a lot of money for a Skoda. The base model 30, well, that's 30 grand's okay, but they've gone big, so we'll see. I mean, 50 for an Audi, you know, I can stomach that. So we'll see, looking forward to it. Let's talk BYD. Chinese company BYD starts operations at their lithium iron phosphate battery factory. It's in Brazil. It's the third plant in Brazil for BYD, and they're making the lithium iron phosphate batteries. These are the batteries that have been going into commercial vehicles forever and buses forever. And then when Tesla said recently, hey, our standard range plus Model 3 in China will come with this chemistry from CATL. The world stopped turning for a moment as Tesla fans discovered a new phrase. This is amazing new technology. I can't believe it. Elon's a genius. And then some people pointed out, no, this is very old, established technology, and that's why it's cheaper, and it's good enough for a standard range, you know, plus Model 3. Anyway, these batteries will be focused on going into electric buses, and the initial investment being put in by BYD is about $3 million. A big factory in Brazil, and plenty of room for expansion, they say. But for now, production capacity of about 18,000 battery modules, and the first ones coming out of the factory, first 1,000 modules made this month in September to go into BYD buses. Let's talk Jeep. Let's talk Wrangler. Let's talk plug-in hybrid and what should be called either the 4XE, or if you stylize it, the Axe, the Jeep Wrangler Axe. Or even the 4XE is pretty cool, but I fear they will want me to say 4xE. Which is terrible. The plug-in hybrid is a rugged off-roader, and it's designed to go out into the wilderness. Of course, all-wheel drive. Of course, it's a Jeep. But where do you charge your car, your plug-in car, if you're in the wilderness and you want to drive quietly on zero emissions? Well, Jeep are going to build solar-powered charging stations on off-road trails in California and Utah. The Jeep North American boss, Jim Morrison, just told us, according to Green Car Reports, Rubicon Springs, the halfway point of the famous Rubicon Trail, as well as select trails in the Moab in Utah, a popular location for off-roading, will be some solar-powered charging stations for those buying plug-in hybrid Jeeps. A couple more stories. GM are doing a deal for Uber drivers. Now, until last year, GM were a big shareholder in Lyft, but now they're favouring Uber. General Motors are partnering with Uber to get more people into EVs. GM said today they're offering a ride-sharing discount for drivers who work for Uber. Not working. Do people work for Uber? I don't know what I'm allowed to say these days. Is Uber, they don't employ anyone. They're freelancers, aren't they? I don't know. I gather it's kind of legal, according to how people are viewed. But I'll steer away from all of that. Has that court case been decided one way or the other yet? Anyway, I'll just say the drivers get a discount of 20% off Bolts, according to Detroit Free Press. The discount is available to current eligible Uber drivers in the US and Canada. Now, the Bolt starts about 37 grand, and that means that with a discount, you can get about $3,000 off of the retail pricing. I wonder if that applies to deals, because there's so many deals to be had on Bolts. So if you can find a deal that's out there and then apply the $3,000 discount, well, that would be very... Even the 20% discount on the deal price, that would be great. Do not pay retail. Do not pay suggested price for a Bolt. GM says that rideshare drivers will also, not only by getting a cheaper deal at the beginning, will save significantly on maintenance costs. And finally, six-time Formula One world champion Lewis Hamilton today unveiled his very own race team, not for Formula One, but for electric racing. This is for Extreme E. This is for off-roading, the groundbreaking new electric off-road racing series, and he's called his team X44. Any fan of Formula One will know that through his career, Lewis has used the number 44 as his race number, so he's called his new team X44. Now, they will enter from Season 1 of Extreme E. The first X race is going to be very early next year. As the team's founder, he will not be driving or even involved on a day-to-day basis, but he will, of course, it's his own team, it's Lewis's team, it's the X44 team, he will be fully behind that team, and everything he's learned in his motorsport career will be put into creating this dedicated and competitive team, electric racing in parts of the world where they need to raise awareness of climate change and abuse to the planet. So there's a good argument that actually, if you want to go to the desert or to an ice cap, what is really good about racing cars across it? Now, they will say, of course, that they were going to leave the area better than they found it, that it raises awareness of these places and the damage that we're doing to many of these places on planet Earth. But still, many will say, well, yes, but you're still leaving tyre tracks. Look, I'm sure that Extreme E have a comeback to all of this. It's a valid criticism, which they don't shy away from. But you know what? We really do need to get the main man behind that series and Formula E as well, Alejandro Aigag, on this podcast, because I'm sure the listeners would like to know more about Extreme E, and me too. Well, that's your show for today. Goodness, it was a long one. I'm sorry. You can, if you want to, feedback any of your thoughts on the topics we discussed today. My email address is hello@evnewsdaily.com, and you can leave a comment on the YouTube show. We post the audio, and I'd love to hear from you there. There are 885 shows in the archive, and they're all online. The blog is evnewsdaily.com. If you just type in ev.news, it'll forward you there as well, if that's easier to remember. If you want to leave a little review on iTunes, it really helps me grow the show. And if you want to take a check at Patreon, that is how we fund the show, for like $5 or $10 or more if you want. You can, if you want to, fund this podcast and the work we're doing and the fight that we are taking on to the fossil fuel industry. It's the only way that I make money from this podcast. You can thank the premium partners, who I thank every day. Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Avid Technology, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com, and Derek Riley from the EV Review Island YouTube channel. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow. Oh, do remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid car.